507 is our next item. Bill?
507, authorize a competitive solicitation and contract with the lowest responsible bidder for construction of the citywide sewer rehabilitation project, number E10562, for $7,800,000.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. And it is late, but we have a number of items to get through, and we'll try to be as brief as possible. This project will rehabilitate and repair the worst of the worst. About 20,000 feet of combined sewer, pipe, manholes, service laterals, and other infrastructure in severely deteriorated condition and at risk of structural failure. The project area includes more than 30 different locations in neighborhoods and business districts throughout the city. These improvements will protect public health and our environment by preventing structural failures. Here to kick things off is Bill Ryan. Bill?
Thank you, Commissioner, Mayor.
Good morning.
Again, with me today is Susan Horton. She is the project manager also for this project, so I'll let Susan tell you about citywide sewer repair.
Hello. As Bill mentioned, my name is Susan Horton. I'm a senior engineering associate in environmental services. We're here today asking for authorization to approve an ordinance to advertise the $8 million citywide sewer rehabilitation project contract. This project is a part of Phase 3 of the large-scale sewer rehabilitation program, which is approved in our current capital improvement budget. The large-scale sewer rehabilitation program, we're wrapping up Phase 2, getting into Phase 3. Phase 2 designed over 53 miles of pipe, either to be replaced or rehabilitated. 30 of those miles have actually been completed through construction. Phase 3 to date has 18 miles that have been designed. There's three projects in pre-design, a couple of projects in planning, so their scope of work hasn't been added to the total miles yet. So the project overview for the citywide sewer rehab includes 62 segments of pipe. It's located in about 30 different areas of the city. The diameter range from 8 inches to 30 inches. The age of the pipe is 50 to 130 years old. We're going to replace over 11,000 feet of pipe. We're going to rehabilitate 9,000 feet of pipe. Also included, that's not shown in these numbers, is 5,000 feet of new sewer service laterals will be replaced, and about 900 feet of inlet leads, and approximately 45 new manholes. So as you can see, the project's kind of scattered throughout the area. The black dots represent the location of the work. The statistics are there, 55% in local residential streets, about 31% in busier arterial streets, and then 14% in easements. The construction methods will be open trench pipe replacement, cured-in-place pipelining, pipe bursting, and then some pipes are strictly spot repairs. To determine which pipe go in the project, typically our city maintenance crews can repair some of this pipe, but if it gets too deep, over 16 feet, they ask that it be done by a contract, larger diameter pipe the same way, or in heavy traffic areas. And then the phase two and phase three has typical project boundaries. These pipe fell out of those areas, so we're just kind of grabbing all the pipe that need immediate attention. This project posed some challenges. On the west side, many of the runs of pipe are located in challenging terrains, narrow, windy roads. Some sewers are located in wooded areas where the terrain and the pipe slopes are 20%, 40%, all the way up to 67% grade. And typically, when we install on the east side, you know, a flat area, it's at 2%. So these houses are not only located, there's one sewer that's located under a house, some are in backyards or wooded areas. There's manholes that can't be accessed by vehicles, so crews are going to have to carry pack in the equipment and material to get to the work. Our public involvement staff has contacted over 19,000 property owners, tenants, business owners, and operators in these 30 different locations, including 37 neighborhood associations, various businesses, various business groups. PI has been very interactive in the design process to keep the team informed of local schools, street fairs, churches, farmers markets, basically any community gatherings that the project may impact. So I just want to give a shout out to them because they not only take the word out to the neighborhoods, they also bring it back into the team and help us determine best methods for going about the work. We work closely with PBOT to try to minimize traffic impacts. They help us with traffic control plans. And so if we need to try to determine a different construction method or staging areas to help with traffic flow, they're at the table helping us with that. And one other thing I'd like to point out is all of our projects communicate with the utility companies a lot, natural gas, telephone, fiber optics, electrical. So in this photo here, in the upper left corner, the black square is actually the bottom of a utility pole. So it was inserted, it broke the pipe. We were trying to figure out the best way to go about it, got a hold of the utility company. They agreed to just come out and support the pole. Boom. The contract will be there. Just do a small spot repair versus having the utility company go ahead of our work, relocate the pole, cause interruption to the service, their service in the neighborhood area. Traffic control is just, instead, we narrowed it down just a couple days of work and minimal interruption to the neighborhood. The engineer's estimate is almost $7.8 million. We hope to advertise next month and begin construction in October.
It may not be obvious from Susan's presentation, but she's really to be congratulated on completing this project because this is all the difficult stuff that was taken out of other projects because it was so difficult that it was bogging down progress on getting the projects designed. So I think Susan would probably use a different word than difficult, but it was a long row to hoe, and we really are proud to have Susan have completed this project.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public testimony on this item?
Yes, two people, Mary Seif and Star Stoffer.
So given that we have a lot of items backed up and a lot of staff, I want to respect them for being here. I'm going to limit testimony to 1 minute and 30 seconds. I won't be draconian about it, but if you could try very hard to limit your testimony, I'd appreciate it. Thank you for your patience, Mary.
Thank you. I wanted to bring up a website for you.
Why don't we start with Star?
Yeah, and start then, with Star.
It's very difficult to do that. If you could just.
It's already queued up.
Okay.
And then Carla, if she needs help, maybe you could help her with that. Please go ahead.
I don't want to screw up their presentation.
Mostly, I just have some clarifying questions. Are the crews that are working on these projects, are they already chosen at this point? As far as is it a bid situation or? I mean, are these city employees? I'm just trying to clarify.
Yeah. So it's a complicated question. A lot of the work is done by city employees. Some of the work by state law gets competitively bid and comes back. So it's a combination.
And have those bids already occurred for
this
particular phase of the project?
This particular ordinance authorizes a competitive solicitation.
Okay. So, I mean, and part of that solicitation of these crews I hate the word diversity because it's such a backdoor racist term, in my opinion, but is diversity a qualifying factor? Is that something that we're looking for in these crews?
So in all of our public contracting, we have aspirational goals to have opportunities for people who have historically been shut out for doing this kind of contracting. And we have a bunch of rules and guidelines that we follow. Then we report back to council on our success.
Because mostly what I just want to make sure we're doing is giving the priority to businesses that are owned and run by people of color, families of color, and making sure that, especially where we're working in neighborhoods of color, that we have people working that represent that community so that those members feel safe and feel like their neighborhood is going to be actually taken care of in the way that the city is telling them it will. And that's really the only things that I'm concerned about that we make sure we continue to do.
Thank you.
Fair enough. Thank you. Good work, Mary.
Hi, Mary Seif.
Good.
I completely support this and all the work that's going on around the city on our infrastructure. Unfortunately, what I don't support is all of the nighttime work that's going on. I brought up the Noise Control Office website, and I'll see if I can minimize it enough so that you can get an idea. This shows you all of the noise variance permits throughout the city. Let me see if I can make it. And if you go through their website, you will see like probably close to 100 noise variance permits that are for sewer repair work, CIPP work being done by the city that's being permitted to be done between 6 p.m. and 7 a.m. in the morning all over the city. And I testified to this several months ago on another project asking you to please ask the city to give consideration to how they're doing this work. This morning was a perfect example of something that we're experiencing. I was woke up at 4 o'clock this morning by what sounded like a jet flying over, and it stopped. Then it started up again. And finally, at about 4:30, I went outside, and it was a City of Portland crew working to install the big wide white stripes to install a crosswalk on the corner of 11th and Northrop. And they said they had to do it because of the streetcar. Well, the interesting thing is that the whole time that they were doing this work at 4 o'clock in the morning, they had one lane open. As soon as they laid something down, they'd let a car drive over it. There was no reason for them to have to stop traffic. And the most ludicrous part about it is they did this work the day after the streetcar started running down that street, after it had been shut down on that street for two solid weeks. We need to really take a look at what we're doing to the people living in our community who are trying to sleep at night. Quite frankly, this pretty much ruined my day for me. And I called the police department, and the police officer proceeded to tell me how the city workers are not subject to the laws and regulations that we have in the city. They did not have a noise variance permit, and she refused to do anything. And the police department does have the authority to tell them to stop working when they do not have a noise variance permit. So I just want to impress this upon you.
Can I respond very briefly, Mayor? First of all, I apologize. This is it sounds like a Peabody issue. I'm not throwing them under the bus,
right.
But we're all responsible, and we need to do a better job coordinating. PBOT, Transportation Bureau, and the utilities are doing a better job coordinating, so we do one stop. We don't come back and do it three times. I share your concerns about the noise that disrupts people's sleep. I think people have a right to sleep until 6 or 7 without interruption. If you can give us some additional information after the hearing about that item, we'll look into it, and we take very seriously this issue about when we do the work. What I will tell you, though, is that because of traffic and because of other concerns, it is sometimes the only option we have, and because sometimes it's emergency work, our only option sometimes is to do evening work, and that doesn't mean that we can't do a better job of minimizing the sound level. So we take your concerns very seriously.
Thank you. And when you have a moment, if you go to this website and you just scroll down and look at some of these, you will see how many of these sewer repair projects are being done overnight throughout the city. I mean, it's pretty
I'll ask for a briefing next week at my regular check-in.
And I did file a complaint with the Noise Control Office, and I'll be meeting with them this afternoon to get more details.
Good.
Thank you.
Was certainly illustrated a few weeks ago.
Very helpful. Thanks for the website thing.
Yeah.
We had the variance hearing in here on a similar issue.
Right.
So thank you for being there then, and thank you for your clarifications today.
Thank you.
It's appreciated.
I appreciate it.
Is there any further public testimony? Seeing none, any further board discussion? This is a non-emergency first reading. It moves to second reading.